Heavenly Father, oh, that we would make that decision once and for all to stand up for Jesus and to follow you. We know, Lord, when the Word of God is opened up, we hear the voice of God calling us. Even today, Father, the message from your Word, may our ears be open, Father, to what you'd have us to do. May we be a people found faithfully serving. For we pray it and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. We're doing a character study and we're looking at the life of Gideon. I was trying to do these characters like one per Sunday, but I've changed my mind on that because just too much information needs to be realized through some of these individuals and how God worked with them. I think Gideon's such a man. Gideon appears in the book of Judges. Judges covers a period of 350 years. And Judges was a very difficult time in the history of the nation of Israel. The key verse is, they did that which was right in their own eyes. Everybody was doing that which was right in his or her own eyes. So that's the culture, that's the time period in which we find Gideon. So it makes a difference. If you were growing up in North Korea, it wouldn't be the same as growing up in America. If you grew up in Europe, it wouldn't be the same as growing up in Africa. You have to take those things into consideration. The time period, the philosophy, the religion, all of that makes a difference. We had a girl in our teen camp from Holland. One of the activities that we do is mountain biking. So somebody said, well, they do a lot of biking in Holland. Well, they do a lot of biking in Holland. But they don't do any mountain biking in Holland. I mean, you could go 20 miles and only rise an inch. So there's a difference between biking in Holland and biking in northern Maine. Makes a difference. When you talk about spiritually and intellectually, financially, all that, it makes a difference. So here we have Gideon, and this is the time period in which he lived. Apostasy ruled. Anarchy ruled the day in which Gideon lived. Because everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Because they didn't have the information. No, they had the information. They had the Word of God. They were taught the history, the stories. It just didn't mean anything. It's amazing how much information we have in America about the Bible available to us. But what do we do with it? It's amazing how many people go to church. It's amazing how many people claim to be Christians. But what do they do with it? Apostasy leads to anarchy. That's true in the life. Apostasy in the life will lead to anarchy, chaos. That's true in a home. Apostasy in a home will lead to anarchy, chaos. That's true in business. And that's true in our country. Absolutely. It's like the Lord when he came to the temple. And he said, you have made the house of prayer a den of thieves. That's our world. The world in which we live in. That's the world that Gideon lived in. It was an evil world. So in verse 1, we found out last week what happened. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Evil, we kicked that around. And then we kicked around Midian. Midian, Keturah, Abraham married her. Probably should have stayed single. Out of Keturah came the Midianites. What a bunch. The ancient enemies of Israel had that ability to get others to come on their side and fight against Israel, God's people. But, as we read right in this verse, they were just another tool that God used when evil was accepted by his people. A lot of times, I think even Christians don't realize that things are falling apart in their life because God's using a tool against them. Might be physical, might be financial, but it's a tool that God's using to try to get their attention and make them turn. Repent. Midian was such a tool in God's hand. And then verse 8, he sent a prophet. Well, he didn't have Ephesians or Philippians or Philemon or Revelation or Romans or the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he sent a prophet to them. After the New Testament was completed, we no longer have prophets. Now, some people claim to be prophets. A lot of the cults have prophets. But when the canon of Scripture was completed, we had God's final message, the Word of God. But when these prophets showed up on the scene, they spoke the Word of God. They gave to the people the Word of God. God gave them His Word. They were wondering, where did we come from and who brought us here and what's this all about? Why didn't you read the book? Why didn't you read the book that you had? You didn't have a lot of books, but you had a few books. Why didn't you read them? Then you would have found out why the conditions were the way they were. Christians are like that too. Verse 9. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. God saying, this is what I did for you. I delivered you from the Egyptians. I brought you here. I drove out the inhabitants and I gave you their land. Do you understand that? Do you understand what you've been given? With us, it's not about the land. With us as Christians, it's about the Lord. It's what God has given to us in the Lord, not the land. But what are we doing with what God has given to us? Why has God saved us? Why does God keep us? What about the promises of God for us? We need to read the Scriptures. Understand that. Verse 10, disobedience. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. You have not obeyed the voice of God. He sent him the prophets. He gave it to him over and over and over and over again. But they would not obey his voice. Something happened when the Lord Jesus Christ was here in relation to a storm that took place. And the disciples thought they were going to drown. They were going to die in this storm. And there's a verse in Luke chapter 8, verse 25. I'm going to read it to you. But he said to them, where is your faith? It's a good question. And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. He commands the wind obeys him. He commands the water, and the water obeys him. He commands his people, and wow! Why do the people of God not obey him? The wind does, and the water does. They were learning a lesson. Storms come into life. Storms come into life. The day that Daryl Gordon died, I was out snowshoeing. It was a clear day. Cool, cold, clear day. Daryl flew over me in his airplane. Now, I was down in the trees snowshoeing, but I saw the plane. I doubt that he saw me. But that day didn't stay like that. A storm came up out of nowhere, and you couldn't see anything, and Daryl crashed. See, those things happen so quickly. Blinding, severe storms, seemingly out of nowhere, when just moments, it seems like before, there was a clear blue sky. Storms come into life, and the Lord Jesus was showing the disciples that storms do come into life, but they must obey Him. They must obey Him. Storms have the potential to cause tremendous destruction. You don't have any power over these elements, but He does. Things come into your life. Cancer, financial setbacks, divorce, all kinds of things come into your life. You have no power over these things, but He does. The elements obey Him. So we should obey Him. If they obey Him, we should obey Him. Shouldn't we? He should be master, but you have not obeyed my voice, he says in verse 10. That's not a good thing. Back when Israel was being delivered, there was a statement made by Pharaoh. It's found in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, and it goes like this. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Pharaoh made a blunder. He said, I will not obey the Lord. Who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. Man, there are a lot of pharaohs around today. And they could say exactly the same thing. Don't know him. Pharaoh was saying, God cannot make demands on my life. Hey, listen. Law of averages. There are some sitting here, hopefully not very many, but there are some sitting here, and they're saying this in their heart. God will not make demands on my life. This is my life. Well, let me say something from my careful study of the Scriptures. Good luck with that. That doesn't work. Besides that, it's not your life. He gave you life. And He can take your life away because He's God. That's what Pharaoh said. He won't make any demands on my life. I'm not going to obey him. You know what Pharaoh thought? Thought he was the strongest man in the world. Pharaoh. Nobody like him. Great. Yeah, that was Pharaoh. We haven't seen him for a long time. I bet he doesn't look very good today for being the strongest man in the world and all. No amount of evidence would change his mind. No amount of evidence in all the plagues that fell on Egypt. No amount of that would change his mind. Wow. Saul was another one. 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Saul, God just wanted you to do what you were told, to be obedient. You could have it all. God gave you everything. But you wouldn't obey. Saul spared some of the people that God told him to destroy. That's always the problem. So that's what leads to something like that, is we spare that which God wants destroyed. We keep that in our life, that which God wants out of our life. We disobey. And we think we're going to progress. And we're not. Sin is hard on people. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now some people read through that quickly and they don't realize what it's saying. You don't thresh wheat in the winepress. You take wheat and you take it up where the wind's blowing on a hill somewhere and you throw it up and the chaff blows away and the wheat falls back down. That's the way you do that. Now the wine press is, you go up on the hills and you gather the grapes and you bring them down and you put them in the wine press and you trample them down and you make grape juice out of it or whatever. But that's not what Gideon was doing, because you couldn't be caught out in the open threshing grain, because Midianites would come and take it away from you. Now they'd watch you till you were all done and then they'd come and take it. Verse 11, sin's hard on people. Hard on people, sin. Sin makes life hard for you. You work so hard to do something that could have been so much easier if it had not been for the enemy that came into your life. Because you were unwilling to fight the enemy. You're unwilling to deal with the enemy. Because the only way you could deal with the enemy was to be a friend of God. And you turned away from that. And because of that, life is hard. One of my favorite songs, I sang it to you before. My bills are all due and the baby needs shoes and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound and I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county's going to haul my belongings away because I'm busted. Can you feel it? I went to my brother to ask for a loan because I was busted. I hate to beg like a dog without his bone, but I'm busted. My brother said, there ain't a thing I can do. My wife and my kids are all down with the flu. And I was just thinking about calling on you because I'm busted. Can you feel it? No wind. No wind. Can't thresh grain in a wine press. No wind. It's not working. It's just not working. Sometimes we as Christians, we got to stop when it's not working. We got to say to ourselves, how come it's not working? What am I doing here by the wine press? What's going on here? In studying the life of Gideon, nothing connects here. Should, but it doesn't. Because these people have rejected the Word of God. And they're called God's people. Wow. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin Galatians 6, 7 and 8 goes like this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. For one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Gideon should have thought, you know what? We are reaping today what we've sown. We have sown the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind. It's too bad Christians wouldn't realize that. It's too bad churches wouldn't realize that. History repeats itself. I had a pastor tell me one time, he shouldn't have been in the ministry, but anyway, he said, no, he said, churches are flourishing, doing great. I said, really? It's funny, I read about seven of them in Revelation. They weren't flourishing and doing great. As a matter of fact, five of them had some tremendous problems. They turned away from God. That was written 2,000 years ago. How many do you think today have turned away from God? Forget the churches. How many Christians today have turned away from God? Some people think you come forward or you get baptized or something and you're good. You walk out and you live for the devil the rest of your life. That's fine. You got a problem with that? That's not biblical. Jesus said, by your fruit, they'll know you. By your fruit, they'll know you. Are we saved by works? No, we're saved by faith. But faith will produce fruit. Mark 9:43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Whatever's stopping you from doing the right thing, cut it off. Cut it out. Deal with the issue. Turn around here. Throw it up in the air. Falls all back down. Throw it up in the air. It all falls back down. The wind's not blowing there. You're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Don't do that. Quit doing that. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Out of nowhere. Boom. There he is. Who? God. This is an angel, of course. Appears as an angel, but he's God. He appeared as a man, Jesus, but he's God. So he appears to Gideon as an angel. The angel of the Lord appears to him. Verse 12. And it says there that Gideon was looking for him. Anybody? Listening? No. Doesn't say that at all. I just lied. Gideon wasn't looking for him. What was Gideon looking for? Gideon was looking for wind. Gideon was looking for the wind to blow and take the chaff away so the wheat could fall. And you could eat that without that chaff all through your teeth everywhere because there was no toothpaste. And then all of a sudden, God. It's amazing. I like the way God does things. Suddenly, God. You remember? If you're here today, you're a Christian, do you remember a day? Do you remember a time you were just blundering through life, trying to figure it out best you could, wasn't working out too well? And all of a sudden, God. And all of a sudden, you're led to a place where you hear the voice of God. And all of a sudden, you're being instructed by God. And you realize that God wants you. And God wants you to do something. That you are special to God. Paul just riding on the road to Damascus. Just another day in the life of Saul. Just another day. Find Christians, persecute them, deliver them, put them in prison, kill some of them. Just another day on the job. But not that day. All of a sudden, God. Boom! Big old powerful Saul. He's on his back. He's helpless. He's looking up into heaven. That never happened before. He says, Lord, who are you? That's a good question. Who are you, Lord? And he heard the voice. I am Jesus. Just a swear word. For me, it was just a swear word. Jesus was just a swear word. Jesus was just something you said when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Things weren't working out. Never Jesus is God, Savior. Never, ever. The day, just a period of time. And all of a sudden, God. God knew something about Gideon that Gideon didn't know. That God could use Gideon. Gideon didn't know that. Gideon doesn't know God. God knows Gideon. God knows Gideon. But pretty soon Gideon's going to know God too. Something's happening here. Something's happening now. Somebody making a decision. Heard the voice of God. God spoke to them clearly. It's happening with Gideon. Who's Gideon? I mean, he's not anybody. He's a nobody. He's just a guy trying to scrounge a little grain, wheat, to make it through the day. Verse 13, Gideon said to him, to whom? To the angel of the Lord, to God. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Aha! This man's not illiterate. This man knows some facts of history. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. Two questions Gideon asks God. Why is it like this, and where is God? Funny thing is, he has all that information. He knows why it's like this, and he knows where God is. Just not dealing with it. Open the book. Could have said this to Gideon. Gideon, now go get your Bible and come here, and we're going to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is what we're going to read. Are you ready, Gideon? Now listen to this. Beginning at verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from what I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings, on Mount Ebal the curses. That was quite a thing. You got half the tribes on Mount Ebal, you got half the tribes on Mount Gerizim. One gives a blessing, the other gives the curses. Blessings and curses, blessings and curses. And it's to teach the nation of Israel, what do you want? What do you want? You want to be blessed? You want to be cursed? What do you want? And God tells us as Christians in our economy, what do you want? You want to be blessed or you want to be cursed? And if you're being cursed, you say, well, why am I being cursed? Why are things going wrong? Well, stop and read. Deuteronomy 11. Gideon, this is the reason why you're there doing what you're doing. This is why your country's in the shape that it's in. You've rejected God. What do you think, Gideon? Oh, yeah, the information's there. Oh, man, the information's there. There are 66 books of information. It's all there. Maybe even read it or heard it or something, but do we believe it or do we do it? That's the big thing. Big difference between hearing it and believing it and practicing it. Big difference. Gideon's going to find out. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? You sure you got the right person? Gideon? Gideon? God is going to send Gideon? It's like Moses, 40 years watching sheep. 40 years in the sheep business. Sheep. He had wool up to here. 40 years. He's 80 years old. And all of a sudden, what? God. And what does God say to Moses? I'm going to send you to deliver my people Israel. What's that missionary doing in Uganda? What's that missionary doing in Argentina? What's that missionary doing in Detroit? What's that pastor doing at that church? Where'd he come from? Did God raise him up and send him there? We were studying this morning about the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He told the disciples, go in there, you're going to find a donkey tied, and you loose him, bring him here. I have need of him. And I told the folks in Sunday school, that wasn't the last time the Lord used a jackass. He can use you. He can use you. You want to be used by him? He's used a lot of Gideons. Used a lot of people like Moses. God's still using people today. They don't have anything to offer. But God uses them. People say, you have so much potential in there, what you could do and what you could become. There's no potential in there. It's only if you take what you have and you yoke it up with God that you can do great, miraculous things. But you have to be yoked with him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Are you willing to do that? Verse 14. This is how Gideon was found. No hope. Gideon was found without any hope. Zero hope. An awful thing not to have any hope. It's good to have hope. Have some hope. Man, middle age. I used to think 40, but now I think 50. Middle age, single, lonely. Looking for somebody, but just being picky. Goes on a cruise. Those cruises, you eat, sleep, eat, rest, eat. Go to a show. So he's going around the ship. He sees a good-looking woman, about his age. But it's like, So he's there and sees this lady and he's thinking, wow, wonder what her story is. It just happened that during the evening banquet, where people are seated with other people, she ended up right across from him. They started a conversation. He said, I noticed you on the ship. She said, yes, yeah, I noticed you too. He said, really? She said, yeah. It livened up his interest that she had also noticed him. He commented they had seen her on the deck that day and he had appreciated her friendly smile. When she heard this, she smiled and commented, well, the reason I smiled was that when I saw you, I was immediately struck by your strong resemblance to my third husband. At this, he perked up his ears and said, oh, how many times have you been married? She looked down at her plate and smiled, twice. You got it, right? Okay, good. Back to the subject. That's hope. That's what she was doing. That's hope. Hope's a good thing. It says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits in his word. I do hope. Look, I know a lot of you are disappointed in politics. I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to leave this planet being disappointed in politics. And I know a lot of you are disappointed in your body. And I can tell from here that there's a reason for that. There are a lot of you who are disappointed in your children. And some of you are disappointed in your grandkids. Some of you are just disappointed in life in general. I want to tell you something. If you're a Christian, you got hope. You got great hope. A better world coming. You even got a better body coming. You're even going to be more financially stable coming. You're going to walk streets that are paved with gold. Doesn't mean anything there. Just gold. You have a future. Those who know God have a future. We are not hopeless. We have hope. Place your hope in the right thing. Place your hope in God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's my hope. That's got to be our hope. So there he is, without hope. He's dominated by the enemy. He has no self-esteem. His nation's in apostasy. Idolatry is reigning. And then God, turn this thing around. God can turn this thing around. You're banging your head against the wall. God can turn this thing around. But we have to stop and think, is it about something we're not doing? Are we missing something? Is it a stand that we're not taking? Have we been negligent as Christians? He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not saying work at your salvation. Work out your salvation. Big difference. Are you working out your salvation? Are you doing what God has called you to do? And if you're not, cry out to him. He's the only hope we have. What God has done with Gideon in the past, God can do with you. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what situation you're in. God can do something with you if you're willing. And we're going to see that with Gideon. We'll pick it up next week. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you consider us. You consider us when we don't consider you. You love us when we don't love you. What a God we have. And you speak to us in our miserable conditions. Thank you, Father. What a lesson. It's a great lesson. We have more to learn from Gideon, but this is a great lesson. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.